the title here, You Have More Than Enough Help. This is something God said to me a while back, and I didn't understand what he meant. I think it was the early part of last year, because I was praying, God, I need help with this. I need help with that. I need help. And God said to me, and he said it so clearly, you have more than enough help. But I did not perceive what he was saying to me when he said that. Now, I'm going to come out of Romans. I'm going to read some scriptures. And it's even one, it's only one spot in it that really, that I want to point out, but I'm going to read the whole scripture. Mm-hmm. Coming out of Romans 8, 28 through 34. Mm-hmm. And it is written, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Huh? Amen. Amen. Who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. But if God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
I'm not going to tell the story yet, but when God put you on assignment, and he's given you an assignment to do, then that means he's for you, right?
Yes.
So if God be for you, who can be against you? All you do is go forward in your assignment.
Amen.
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 Now I'm going to look at 2 Kings 6, 8 through 20.
The first one
again. 2 Kings what?
2 Kings 8.
Through 34.
No. 2 Kings 6, 8 through 20. If God be for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
You have more than enough help, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
2 Kings
6, 8 through 20. And I'm going to read this. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers. But Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. God finds that. That reminds me of how God has heightened Tanya's spiritual hearing. She realized that she can hear so keenly. My grandmother was able to hear very keenly. She can hear stuff that normally you can't hear. And God has heightened her Tanya's hearing. That's a form of discernment also, when God heightens your hearing. And then he also heightens individual sense of smell. You know, somebody can walk in the room and I smell such and such, but nobody else can smell it. But God gives you a sense of discernment in that form and fashion too. And he said, let's see here.
13.
He said, go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses. He sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When a servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. As the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. You can ask the Lord to strike somebody with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. Elijah told them, this is not the road. Then he can go up to them and tell them, hey, this is not the road you're supposed to, because they're blind. They don't even know who Elijah is. This is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. Ain't that something? The man they're looking for is right in front of them.
Right.
And they can't see him. They don't perceive who he is or nothing. Because God has struck them with blindness. It says, after they entered the city, Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside of Samaria. Ain't that something? Now my commentary says, Elijah's servants was no longer afraid when he saw God's mighty heavenly army. Can you imagine? You see things happening around you, but you don't see no support. You don't see where you got a way out. You have no clue of seeing a way out, and then your stomach starts to bubble, and your head starts to hurt. Then you can't sleep. You're restless. Because all of this that's up against you, because you can't see. Because you can't see spiritually. But now all you got to do is, God, open my eyes so that I can see. Because if Elijah asked, then we can ask. Amen? In the name of Jesus. So it says, and so when God opened up the servant's eyes, then he was relieved. He wasn't worried no more. He can sleep now. Oh, God, it's good now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know what I mean? So, it says, faith reveals that God is doing more for his people than we can ever realize through sight alone. So we need to be able to see what God is doing. So we have to ask God, open my eyes to see you. What are you doing, God? Open my eyes. Because I don't see you in this. Amen?
Yeah.
When you face difficulties that seem insurmountable, remember that spiritual resources are there even if you can't see them. If you don't see God working in your life, the problem may be your spiritual eyesight, not God's power. Y'all, this week, God had led me to listen to this one sermon, a message, and I'm listening to the young man, and I say, huh? He says, there are more angels of God to help you than there are demons that are against you. But if you don't know they're around you, you won't use the help that's right there around you to help you. He says the more you focus on is the more you empower. So if you focus on demonic forces all the time, that's the forces you empower. If you focus on the heavenly forces that are for you, then you will empower them. Because the Bible says that the angels of the Lord hearkens unto the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So when he said that, I heard him, but I didn't hear him. Then a few days later, I'm looking, I'm sitting down. I was in a Holy Ghost class this week. And God was teaching me some things. And so I'm just sitting there and I'm listening. And I just began to weep because I did not get it. It's been right in front of me all this time. What's been available to me all this time has been there. And I didn't know how to say, okay, God, now release this angel to help me do this assignment. Because you are for me. You said San Antonio Door of Hope would be a healing and deliverance ministry. You said that. Now, if that's so, then God has ministering angels that help you do the work you're called to do.
Amen.
But if you don't know that, that's why sometimes some people will say, there's angels all around you waiting to go to work, and you ain't, and they're not doing nothing because you're not using them.
Yeah.
Because you're not using the word. So, and when I got it, I was like, oh my goodness. This one young man was talking about how he knows what to minister on because God has blessed him to be able to see the different angelic forces that will come into the room at the time. He knows when there's an angel may come in and take notes. That's information being written on the log. They're taking notes of those that's receiving the word that's going forth. You know, then he knows when there's an angel carrying fire coming in to burn up everything that's unlike God that day. That's for deliverance that day. He knows by the type of angel that comes into the room and what they're fixing to do. Well, y'all, I didn't realize God has revealed to me and he's shown me. You remember how how he'll do one ear and all the different symbols and stuff like that? Well, I never connected it. But I do know this, and I know that I know what I'm talking about. He mentioned a wind. An angel came in his room, and it was a mighty wind that came into the room. And when he mentioned that, he said, then the angel just left. But the angel left a feather behind. I ain't never seen that feather. The young man still had the feather today. And he said, that's the angel of change of season. When the season is getting ready to change. Because God was sending that angel forth. Well, I've seen that. I've seen it. And I didn't know what that meant. And I'm like, ooh, God, in the change of season, lack changes into abundance. Your seasons change.
Yeah.
Sickness and disease change in divine health.
Yeah.
It's a season of change. I saw it, y'all. I saw that. And so I know this to be a season of change.
Amen.
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 And so even lack of understanding, you're going to get understanding.
Hallelujah.
If it's people that have, if it's someone that is not filled with the Holy Spirit and operating in the Spirit, they're getting ready to operate in the Spirit. It's a season of change. Amen.
Amen.
We are in a season. I've seen it. And God said it's time. This is our season of change. So, remember, if God be for you, who can be against you? God gives you an assignment, then you don't have to sit there and be upset and complaining and concerned. How is it going to happen? You don't have to do that because he already has sent you the help that you need.
Amen.
Now you ask him, how do I, God, recognize what help I need when I need it? How do I pray? And that's the thing. We need to know, how do I pray? That's part of strategy. when you're in battle or something like that. That's part of strategy, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So God, you know, as we have been learning, God has just been teaching us things. We have been going from glory to glory to glory. Mm-hmm. We are experiencing God in some wonderful ways now. And this was not like this last year.
Amen.
We weren't here where we at now last year.
Yeah.
God is doing a great work.
Amen.
And so if God be for you, who can be against you? And remember, if your eyes are closed, then how can you see? Mm-hmm. How can you recognize where God is, what he's doing and where he's at? Okay. If your eyes are closed. But now, the servant that was with Elijah, the king that was with Elijah, he didn't know his eyes was closed. We can be walking around and not even know that we can't see. You know?
Spiritually, yeah.
Yeah. We think we got it all together. We think it's everything is we got. We're understanding. We're perceiving. We think. But sometimes we don't even know. We can't even see. So, when God opened up my eyes and made it so plain and clear to me about you have more than enough help, and when I got it, I cried the whole time. Amen. And I kept saying, God, I didn't know that was it. God, and when I would open my mouth, there go tears just rolling down my face. And it was such a relief because I believe it now.
Amen.
I got it. Amen. Amen. So, Acts 9:17 says, this is about another time somebody was eyes were covered or closed. You remember Paul, Saul, and when he was going down the road of Damascus.
Yeah.
And you remember when he encountered Jesus and Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he says, who are you? And Jesus says, I'm the Lord. And the people, the guys that were with Saul, they didn't see nothing, but they can hear God's voice. They can hear him. And then God tells Saul where he needs to go. And so Saul was to go a straight street to where Ananias was. Now Ananias was given instructions, and this, and I'm going to read this here. Acts 9:17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Oh, no, okay. Let me tell the story. Ananias was given instructions. Ananias, I want you to go to Straight Street, the location where I want you to go and pray for this man named Saul. And Ananias, oh, I can't do that. That's that one that want to kill everybody. I ain't going up in there. But God had given him instructions. Do y'all know God gives us instructions?
Yes.
And he'll tell us to go somewhere. And it can be scary to us sometimes. It's like, oh, God, what are you fitting to do? And he'll put you in some places, in some positions where you're concerned. But if you trust him, you don't have to be concerned because he got your back.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So here it says in 17, then Ananias went into the house and entered it. Placing his hand on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Now, we usually pray, God, let the scales fall from their eyes. But the Bible said it was something like scales that fell from his eyes. And then he saw. So you see that there is a place where you can see and something like scales on your eyes. Or sometimes you can't see and it's you just spiritually blind. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm looking here at Isaiah 6:9. And it says, he said, go and tell his people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Mm-hmm. Then Mark 4:12 says, so that they may ever see but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. What does perceived mean? Perceived means to become aware of, mm-hmm. or conscious of something. Mm-hmm. Come to realize and understand. And we can be in a place where we do not perceive what God is saying mm-hmm. in His Word. We can be at a place God can give us instructions about something and not perceive what He's saying. Now, perceive also, here's some words to identify. Discern, mm-hmm. to recognize, to become aware of, to distinguish, realize, grasp and understand, mm-hmm. to take in or make out or to find or identify. Mm-hmm. This is what perceive is. Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday, last night, the night before, I had a vision, and in the vision, it was me and Mama. We were rolling in the hood. I'm driving. We, mm-hmm. you know, me and Mama always riding together. And there was a war going on, and I can hear the gunfire. It was like gangs fighting against mm-hmm. gangs, and I can hear the guns, and it was kind of close. And I'm trying to hurry up and get up out the neighborhood because the gun shots were getting closer and closer. And but we wasn't moving fast enough for that whatever reason. It's like, how can we not get up out of this hood? Well, that right there went to tell me that God didn't want me to run. He wanted me to be still. Amen? Yeah. So, that morning, wake up, and I get ready for it. Now, I've already had the vision. Didn't know what it meant, and I'm saying, God, I pray your divine intervention. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. God, that was some stuff. That was a war. But God was saying that there's a war going on in the heavenlies. And he was just letting me know what was going on before we go to the radio ministry. When we get there, no. Mama says, well, the radio's not on. The station's not on. And I said, huh? I said, okay. I said, well, we gotta go pray anyway. So God, in real life. Okay. Yeah, this happened to yesterday.
Okay.
And,
hey.
And I said, the radio's not on. And I said, okay, well, we're going in to pray anyway, so we're going to pray this thing through. Mm-hmm. And so we get to the radio station, and then Tanya was, I pulled up, and I said, Tanya, the station ain't on. She says, yeah, I know. I said, well, God told us to be here early, so we're going to go, and we're going to be here early. And so we're going to pray. We're going to go into one of the rooms. And remember, this is the instruction God had given. I don't think you have made it yet. The instructions God gave Tuesday night was for us to be, before we go before Him in anything we do, we have to be there early. We need to pray mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. And so we went into a room. We asked to go into a room, and we went in that room, and I can hear something on this side of the room, and I heard something on this side of the room, but it wasn't nothing there, but I can hear it. And I would look once in a while, and so we're just praying, and the presence of God was so strong in the place. And when we first walked in, Dory says, I don't know if y'all gonna get to go on the air today. And I said, oh, okay, we're going to pray anyway, so we're going to go in here and pray. We're going to pray this through. And so we didn't entertain what she was saying. Now, I don't know if anybody else had not had an opportunity to go on the air that morning, but I believe we were going in the air because this is an assignment that God has given to us.
Right.
So if God be for me, who can be against me?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So we go in there and we're in the room, and so we talked about a few things, and then we commenced to praying. And I was listening to my heart, and so the Lord put on my heart to pray for the arm of God to be exposed and that His mighty hand would be in this. Mm-hmm. Now the transformer had went out, they had fixed it and it went out again. And we bound the root. We bound the root cause of whatever the reason that the air went out. And then we needed to see the mighty arm of God, right? Mm-hmm. Then we asked God. I asked God. I said, "Send forth your archangels to bring in your glory." And we were sitting there. We had prayed. I prayed. Then Tanya prayed. And we were sitting there, and we were quiet. And the next thing you know, Tanya says, "I saw two angels sitting up by the transformer, and they put the wires together." And when she said that, I said, "Okay, it's fixed." Now, we're still hearing the static and stuff. I said, "God, you said it's fixed. You showed her. That's our help. God, you said it's fixed. It's fixed. We thank you. It's fixed." And then maybe 10 minutes later, we back on the air. Mm-hmm. It was fixed. Mm-hmm. And God did that. God sent us there early.
Amen. To pray.
To pray it through. Mm-hmm. And God did it. Yeah. And it was fixed.
Amen.
I told Tanya, I said, "Tanya," and when I said it, I said, "Uh-oh. What is God finna do? Because we got to get this in our heart. No matter what it look like on the outside, if he be for you on the assignment, then who can be against you?"
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Don't matter what it look like on the outside. It looked bad. That looked grim. That looked like other radio stations, other people were not able to go on the air. Because it was not, the radio station was not available to go on air. But when God gives you an assignment, if God be for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
You have more than enough help.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And if you cannot see what God is doing, he opened her eyes to see the angels.
Amen.
Now he had already, that was testing me. He was testing me.
Mm-hmm.
What he had already took me through and taught me in the week, now it was time for my test. And we did not entertain. We wasn't going on there. I said, "God," I remember saying this. I said, "Father, I know we're not here praying just to be praying. We're not laboring in vain. God, we're here that this is a breakthrough. Send forth your breakthrough angel." And we sat there. The radio was on. The air was back up. The radio, And I told Tanya, I said, "They don't even know what happened."
Clueless.
But that was a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
God used us. And he was the one that told us to be there 30 minutes early from now on. To be early and to pray first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so when we're getting ready to go in, to go to the room where we're supposed to go, Tanya walking like this, the door over here, Tanya walking like this. Because she's drunk in the spirit. The presence of God was so strong in that little old room where we was praying. His presence was so sweet. So sweet. And I know that there was angels sitting behind us, waiting to go on assignment. I know that was angels.
Listen.
And they were just waiting. God said we have more than enough help. But if we're not aware of the help that's around us, just like Elijah's, the servant that was with Elijah, if he's not aware of the help that's around him, then he's going to be, he would die in fear. He could have a heart attack because the army was surrounding them. But when Elijah said, "Open his eyes, God," and God opened his eyes to see those angels with fire. Amen.
Amen.
Woo!
Glory.
Woo! Hallelujah. So again, do y'all get it?
Yes.
You got it. You got more than enough help. Now, God, how do I pray? Help me to see. Help me to see.
Be aware.
Of the help you got around me. Now, remember, you do not pray to the angels.
You ask God.
You ask God to send forth which angel is going to be on assignment for the situation.
Yeah.
Now, we know that there's Michael and Gabriel, but we had not realized that there's many more types of duties that God has assigned to his angelic army. Mm-hmm. Many more duties. But if we're not aware that they're right there waiting to serve us, then they don't do nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, God reminded me years back when me and this young girl, I was mentoring this young girl, and she and I were sitting in the car. We're waiting for mama to get off from work. And there was a car next door, next to us, and we were just talking. And as we were talking, she screamed because she saw two men sitting in the car next to us. And I was like, when she screamed, it scared me. I was like, what? She said, I just saw two men sitting in that car. And I looked over, ain't nobody up in that car. She said, I'm not lying. I saw two men sitting in that car, and they had black shades, and they had on suits. I said, did they look like agents? Did they look like, you know, like
FBI,
something like that? Those were angels that had been assigned to us for whatever service that we needed done. And God opened her eyes to see. I didn't see, but he opened her eyes to see. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
So, okay, remember, God is for you. Who can be against you? Mm-hmm. When he gives you an assignment, if you let fear hinder you from moving forward in that assignment, you will never accomplish the duty of the assignment God has given you. Mm-hmm. If you allow fear to hinder you. Amen?
Amen.
And he will make it so plain. Just ask him, give me the spiritual eyes to see you. Again, I read it what Elijah said. When he said, God, open. Let's see. He said, Elijah said in 2 Kings 6, 17. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And the Bible says, then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around him. Mm-hmm. Now, that's how we need to be able to pray and believe God to open the eyes of people that he bring across our path.
Amen.
So that they can see what God is doing mm-hmm. in their lives.
Yeah.
So they can see that God is with them and God is for them. Amen?
Amen.
Can you read something again?
Say,
when he gives me an assignment, if I allow fear to hinder me, what did you say after that?
Mm-hmm. If when God gives you an assignment, if you allow him to allow
fear
to hinder you, you will not accomplish. You won't go forward. Mm-hmm. You'll keep sitting back saying, well, I'm just waiting for. You're waiting for God to do something first when God told you to already do it.
Amen.
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 Does that make sense?
Amen.
Amen.
So you will not accomplish what?
You will not accomplish what he's called you to do. And then he'll put the assignment on somebody else to do. They'll give it to somebody else. So you have more than enough help. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being so awesome.
Amen.
Father, you are awesome. You are the great God, Jehovah. You are the great I Am. You're holy, holy, holy. Father, forgive us for God delaying when you have told us what to do. Forgive us, Father, for procrastination. Forgive us, Father, for saying no. Forgive us in the name of Jesus, because we could not see. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you open everyone's eyes under the sound of my voice, that they may see the help that you have for them. I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, just as with Paul, it was said that something like scales fell from his eyes. Lord God, let the something like scales fall in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you enlarge our territory and capacity of understanding, revelation, knowledge, wisdom. Lord God, enlarge it in the name of Jesus. And that we may perceive, that we may discern, that we may grasp what you are doing, what you are saying in the hour that you are doing it in. Lord God, and that we will not be moved because of the things going on around and about us, but we will stay fast. We will stand fast in the name of Jesus. If you be for us, who can be against us? Father, yesterday you gave us strategy on how to pray. And Father, there was breakthrough. And we thank you. And Father, now we thank you that everyone that was under the sound of our voices, God, we thank you that they received healing and deliverance. I thank you for the manifestation of your glory in the bodies of the believers. In the name of Jesus. And we give you glory, we give you honor. Amen and amen.
Amen.
If God be for you, who can be against you? Anybody have any questions?